Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Dig, RMU's own volleyball podcast here on Colonial Sports Network. I'm Austin Bechtold, back for a second season of The Dig, now with my new co-host, Mr. Tyler Gallo.
Yes, sir. I am here. I'm ready to talk volleyball, team that I've followed pretty closely over the past 3 years, so I feel like I know enough about the team to get by.
Yeah, Tyler, last year we had Josh Selzer as my co-host.
Well, I can only hope to fill his big shoes. So
yes, very, very big shoes. But we're feeling pretty good so far in the podcast. How good are we feeling going into the season for RMU? They're transitioning from the NEC over to the Horizon League, where the team practically dominated last year NEC competition. Team went 25-5 overall and 15-1 in conference play, and ended up as the NEC regular season champions. So, in that regard, they were able to host the NEC tournament, but they ended up falling to Central Connecticut in 5 sets in the semifinals. They were down 2-0, but were able to come back, battle their way back, and get to a 5th set. But overall, didn't happen for the Colonials. What did you make of, just before we get into this season, of their season last year overall?
I think it was just a disappointing end, because that team just absolutely stormed out of the gates. I believe they won 15 straight before they lost that last one, if I'm not mistaken. And they just looked like the best team on campus. I mean, we talked off this podcast before about how they're one of these teams that can be built to succeed in this division coming up. It's not like basketball where you're going to lose players, or other sports where you're going to lose important players. But I think volleyball, this team, the core is still there from the last few years. And I mean, that was just a disappointing end of the season last year.
Practically everybody does return, but yeah, Colonials practically, like we said, ran through the whole entire conference with really no trouble at all. They did run into a little bit of trouble in the early parts of November against Central Connecticut, where they did defeat Central Connecticut at home at the UPMC Event Center, but it did go to 5 sets. So it kind of was a little precursor for what we ended up seeing in the NEC tournament. But the team was undefeated until getting to Long Island for the last game of the year in conference play. 15-0 going into Long Island before losing in 4 sets, 25-15, 25-23. Colonials took the 3rd set, 25-20, before falling to Long Island, 25-19 in Brooklyn. That was all the way back on November 16th of 2019, with the 2020 season being moved to the spring of 2021 due to the coronavirus. And it all led into the Colonials being the number one seed in the Northeast Conference tournament, as we mentioned, and falling in the semifinal round to Central Connecticut. But it was overall one of, if not the best seasons in program history for this team. And they returned practically all the key contributors this season, especially with, you think of the Maria Alfanos and Emma Granger and Alyssa Hudak and Nicola Zanoli all returning to this team. It's just lining up for another year with a lot of potential success, even though they do move into a different conference.
Right. We actually have talked about this before too, that like, we thought that they were probably the team that was going to be most ready to make that jump to the, cause they, let's be honest, the last 2 seasons, they were really good. And 2018 was the one year where they were just like sort of middle of the pack. But last season, they went crazy out of the gates. But I think that this team, with, you know, Whitney Brown returning, Emma Granger, all these players that have been the dominant pieces on this team, are just going to continue that. And in the Horizon League, I mean, it's not like the Horizon League has any standout teams. Granted, there are teams that are better than the other ones, but this is a team that can slot right into that upper echelon of the conference if they play their cards right.
Right, and you've seen just complete and utter dominance from Emma Granger in her career. Over 1,000 kills, officially 1,008 kills, and 174 aces overall in her career at Robert Morris through 3 seasons. And Tyler, those are just astronomical numbers from one of the best players ever in program history.
Oh, absolutely. Watching her closely, because she's been the forefront of the offense the last couple of years, and the defense as well. with her ability to get in front and just block almost seemingly everything that comes near her. She was rightfully so. She got a couple of weekly hardwares, a couple of monthly hardwares, and she was, I believe, the tournament MVP earlier on in the season for one of the tournaments they played in. I mean, you can't say enough about how good she is, and the fact that she's here and she's playing in that first Horizon League season is very important.
You mentioned the fact that, you know, we talked just amongst ourselves at CSN about teams that we think are going to be the most ready to be able to move on from the NEC to the Horizon League, which, you know, obviously in a lot of people's minds, and for good reason, is a higher level of competition. How do you think the team is going to be able to transition under Coach Dale Starr going into his 11th season?
Well, of course, Dale Starr is one of the best and most underappreciated coaches on campus on just how he's built this team up from being sort of a middle-of-the-pack team in the NEC and then up to that dominant season last year. And he's the right guy for the job, obviously. But I just think that I think they'll start off slow, as they will, as all the other teams have, adjusting to their new conferences. And who knows what's going to happen with protocols and stuff like that. God forbid they stay on the court this year. And if they do, I think
we've seen a lot of other problems with men's and women's basketball with coronavirus concerns of not being able to get back on the court.
Yeah, absolutely. Hockey, too, has had some games canceled and shut down. But if they can stay on the court, I think they just need to get into the rhythm. And then once they do, I believe they'll finish top five, top four in the conference. I can't see them finishing outside that, especially with some of these schools also not being too great in these last couple of years. But there's a lot of good teams in this conference.
Yeah, and there hasn't been a preseason poll that has been announced like men's and women's basketball had for the Horizon League yet as of us recording that. But I would expect the Colonials to be in the upper echelon of that portion. I wouldn't expect top ranking of 1, 2, or 3, but I think 4 probably would be an appropriate spot to put them, because, you know, you don't want to give a team that's brand new to the conference that really hasn't faced many opponents that much. Now, the Colonials have faced everyone in the conference once since 2009, but you don't want to give that high a praise to teams that haven't consistently played these opponents. But as you mentioned, Coach Starr is one of the most underappreciated coaches on campus. He was the 2019 NEC Coach of the Year for all of volleyball in the NEC, and he leads the program in all-time wins with 156. And just his presence on the sideline really, I think, has been able to, you know, help develop a bunch of these younger players to the point of, like you said, they were an average team. They weren't a team that really stood off the charts at times. Now, there was a lot of success in the program, but they really got to that next level in the 2019 season under Coach Starr with all the talent that he has on the roster that is also returning. Now, one player that is not coming back is Lauren Kalenic. You saw her both offensively and defensively doing pretty good for the Colonials. She graduated in the winter, but 7 seniors will return, including Alfano, Whitney Brown, as you mentioned, Skylar Clemens, Emma Granger, Allison Londot, Erica Wilt, and Mirna Sarjanovic. So this is a very senior-led class, and I think you're going to see a lot of key contributions, not just from the stars like Londot, Brown, Alfano, and Granger, but you can also see some from a lot of – I'm looking at Erica Wilt in the back row to also make a key impact.
Yeah, Wilt, she's been one that's been interesting over the last couple of years because she usually isn't starting, but she'll come in and she'll slot in and do really, really well for this team, as she has. But the one I'm focusing on is a star, Whitney Brown. She's just a menace when it comes to getting assists, getting those balls across the net. And the fact that she's back and she's playing again is perfect for this team, especially as that Brown and Granger duo is out there. But yeah, I agree with your sentiment on Wilt there. I think she's a very important piece for this team going forward.
Yeah, and just going off of Brown, just having a key setter and a great setter at that to be able to consistently run your offense at a smooth pace and be able to change it up at times. And you even see some back row attacks possibly as well. You know, her presence on the court is what makes this offense work. And I feel like without her, especially with a bunch of stars that, you know, she knows where to put the ball for the Grangers and the Alfanas, and she does a great job of it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she's one of the best setters in school history. I believe she's ranked up in the top in terms of assists. I'm not sure if she's first or second or around there, but she's been just a high octane assist getter these last couple of years, which is very, very important for this team, especially as Emma Granger has, you know, become sort of a superstar on this offense. So hopefully they can continue to be that dynamic duo out there on the court. And of course, as the team hopefully succeeds in this season in the Horizon League.
And four juniors also return: Megan Cannon, Emily Devlin, Alyssa Hudak, and Nicolette Zanoli. Now, Zanoli is the libero and Hudak playing outside are the main key contributors to look out for on this team. Been playing the last couple of years and been playing really well. What do you make of just Zanoli's presence in the back row? I think she was probably the best libero in the NEC and is going to be taking that great pedigree into the Horizon League.
Oh, yeah, she's phenomenal at defense, and you've seen it from her since she's a freshman. She's pretty much a firecracker out there on the court. She gets the team fired up, as pretty much everybody out there does, but she does it, and she's ready to pump up the people out there, as well as play excellent defense. Like we said before, all these players are very important to this offense, and it's just a good team, and it's a team that can succeed in this conference.
Yeah, like you said, a great spark of energy. Is able to track the ball really well in the back row, doesn't over pursue that much, and is able to get a lot of balls up that are, you know, hit pass blocks. And Hudak outside is really able to put the ball down as well, does a good job of blocking too. So those two I look at from the junior side is going to be really important to the success of this team. There's also just one sophomore. I am a sophomore, but Elena Carmody, who comes from North Allegheny High School, rival high school of mine, is another key player to look at in the back row, as she played a key role as a freshman on last year's team alongside Wilton Zanoli in the back row.
Oh yeah, Elena Carmody is a pretty much, she's again someone that won't often get the start, but when she comes in, she makes an impact out there. Granted, we didn't get to a lot of volleyball games last year, but when we did, she made the impact, and it's very important that she continues to do that in this season as they get into the new conference. All these players are going to be important, but her maybe a little bit more than some others.
Three freshmen enter the program: Emma Brown, Annie Monaco, and Abby Ryan. Now, Tyler, I don't really know if it's fair to say that they're going to be making that big of an impact this year, just because of, even though they did have, I remember writing the article when they entered the program, they had great high school careers. But when you have such a upperclassman-led team full of very talented and very decorated players, you're probably not going to see them play very much. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and we saw it with some freshmen last year as well. They didn't get into often because the upperclassmen are important on this team and the biggest parts of this team. So we won't see them too much, but if they know they're going to sweep, or if the game gets out of hand, sort of, if they get up by a lot, go on a big run, you might see them sub in. So, and having good depth on your team is very important. If somebody goes down with an injury, especially if somebody goes down with an injury in the front court, you're going to see one of these freshmen come in.
Right. And RMU enters this season. Coach Starr has 15 players to work with on his roster, as they leave the NEC probably not on a very good note. You know, obviously you don't want to leave the conference losing a game at home in a conference tournament that you're favored in, but that's just the way it turned out. So that's just going to have to be the way you deal with it. But Colonials return to the court after 430 days since their last
more than a calendar year.
Yeah, since their last matchup, and we'll be hosting Oakland for two matches, January 25th and the 26th. So matches this season will be mostly Monday and Tuesday nights. Monday home contest will be at 6 p.m., while Tuesday contest will begin a little earlier, 1 hour earlier, starting at 5. What do you think of the games being back-to-backs Monday, Tuesday? I know that, you know, Horizon League obviously has to accommodate for other sports using gyms, and basketball is the main focus right now, with their season in full swing, playing mostly on Fridays and Saturdays. So what do you make of just the possibility of all games being Mondays and Tuesday nights?
You know, I think it's going to prove to be a test for these teams, as the other teams play back-to-backs as well, the other sports teams on campus, but especially these ones, especially during the weekend, not on the weekend where you're gearing up for that weekend. Now, right away, as the week starts, you're ready to play those nights. And, you know, the early evening games are very good. I often enjoy going to early evening games, because once they're done, I mean, you have a lot of time to do stuff. And before them, you know, they just got to prepare. And, you know, and lucky they're not early afternoon games where you don't have a lot of time to prepare to get into these games. But these are going to be an important test, especially as they get started in the season.
Yeah, and one exception to this pretty constant flow for the Colonials all year will be a series against Northern Kentucky on March 22nd. It's going to be a doubleheader against the Norse on March 22nd, who they were the 2019 Horizon League Tournament champions, Northern Kentucky was. So that doubleheader on that Monday will have start times of 3 p.m. and 6 p.m., with the second game being senior night for the Colonials with their seven seniors departing the program. But also on the schedule, after the Colonials will face Oakland on February 1st to the 2nd, the team will go on their first road trip in Horizon League conference play at UIC in Chicago, followed by a bye week, which will take place and games would have been that following week. They will then take place on February 15th and 16th at Purdue Fort Wayne, followed by coming back home against Wright State on February 22nd to the 23rd. And then another road trip for the Colonials, another four-game stint in Ohio at Cleveland State to begin the month of March, March 1st and 2nd, followed by a trip to the Penguins, Youngstown State, March 8th and 9th. And then the Colonials end the 2021 spring season like they started it, at home at the UPMC Event Center against IUPUI, March 15th to the 16th, before the doubleheader against Northern Kentucky on March 22nd. So, Tyler, that's the outline of the schedule. Who are you looking there to see as a potential rival for the Colonials, and who do you think could be the biggest challenge?
Well, I'm going to start with the rival, and I think it's going to be Youngstown State. This is a team that's faced off against the Colonials quite often these last couple of years.
They've played 38 total times in school history and once in the last 9 years.
And they're almost a, sort of a former out-of-conference rival. Granted, they haven't played in the last 9 years, but now that they're going to be in the same conference, I wouldn't be surprised if they get that rivalry going, because they are close to each other in proximity. They're closer than some of the other schools are. And I think this is a team that Colonials can hang with. Now, in terms of a tough one, I think it's going to be Northern Kentucky, the team that did win. Like we said before, they won the conference. There's no sneezing at that. So if the Colonials can hang with them, they can hang with anybody.
Yeah, and I misspoke earlier. They have faced Youngstown State once in each of the last 9 years, so they're pretty familiar with the Penguins going into it. And they'll definitely be a team that I would target, as, you know, they're the closest to Moon Township. Should be a potential rival and a team you look at that, you know, is a pretty talented team that you're going to have to constantly face off against. Now, Wright State won the 2019 regular season championship, so I think that they're definitely going to be a team that's going to be tough for Robert Morris. Now, it is going to be nice to be able to have them at home, and it's also going to be in the middle part of the section, February 22nd and 23rd. So, you know, I think it's kind of fair to say that you could expect RMU to struggle in their first game against Oakland, just with the new conference and relatively new opponents. As we mentioned, they've played each team once in the past 11 or so years since 2009. But I do think that it's fair to say, like a lot of programs that we've seen already on campus, once you change to a new conference, you could see a different culture, a different style of play, an increased style of play. And it could take a little bit of time to adjust and get used to.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this Oakland series as the first litmus test for this team going into the season. Now, Oakland's not bad by any means. They have two very good players that you're going to want to focus on in the series, and Jamie Walling and Lindsey Whiteman, who both tried out for the U.S. national team. Wow. And I believe Lindsey Whiteman was in the top like echelon of points in the Horizon League last season. So if they can beat Oakland, expect them to hang with a couple of these other good teams as they go along in the season.
Yeah, and Oakland last season was 15-14 overall. They were 8-8 in Horizon League competition. So if, like I mentioned, the Colonials are going to struggle, it's probably going to be in the first set or two and then be able to bounce back to be able to get a victory, because this Oakland team, at least from Horizon League standpoint, is solid. They're just okay. They're not in the upper echelon portion of Horizon League competition. But I think the Colonials could be able to come out with this one. Who are some players to watch in your mind in this Oakland series coming up this week for RMU?
So, I mean, if Oakland has Whiteman and Walling, who, by the way, I misspoke. Walling is the one that led in all the points in Horizon League that had the top echelon. But we move over to the Colonials, and I think it's going to have to be Emma Granger and Whitney Brown. I mentioned them before as the dynamic duo out there on the court. But if these two players can continue their dominance that they had last season and move it into the new Horizon League conference, then it's just going to be so great for the Colonials, especially if they get off to a good start.
I'm looking for Maria Alfano. She is a fantastic player. Complements Emma Granger really well out of the middle. And, you know, very successful player, very talented player. And it really hasn't gotten some of the recognition that she deserves just because of how dominant Granger is. And she kind of steals the headlines from Alfano. So give her a little credit for all the success that she's had in the past. And I think that she'll be able to carry over into her senior season. But, Tyler, as we start to wrap up here, what are some of your predictions for the Oakland series and also for the season in general?
You know, I can see them taking maybe one or two sets from Oakland if they struggle in this one. But if they continue their dominance from last season, they can probably take it in five or four. And now moving forward, there's going to be some tough games. I expect them to lose. I expect them to lose a couple, especially against the teams that were in the top of the league, like Wright State. So I think it's going to just be a back and forth season for them. It's not going to be exactly like how they just were not great in 2018. I think it's going to be sort of a happy medium between the 2018 and 2019 seasons.
Yeah, I think you make some fair points. I think that they're going to start off okay, like I said earlier, against Oakland, but find a way to win at least one match and potentially even two. Especially at home, you want to get those games underway, get some wins underway, especially before you head on the road. And like you mentioned, Wright State's going to be a battle. But since that is at home, and I think, you know, even though there's not going to be any fans at games this season, I think that's going to be a big momentum game for the season, especially in the middle portion of it. And I think RMU is going to be able to get one of those games as well. Now, overall, I think that the team is probably going to finish a couple games over 500, maybe even better. They definitely have the potential to be better. It's just being able to size up some of the competition that they have to deal with in the conference that they're not as familiar with as in the NEC, obviously. And, you know, just with the environment that all sports teams are in right now, it's different. There's a lot of change overall in just RMU athletics in general. And I feel like it's natural to be able to go through a little growing pains at first and struggle.
Oh, exactly. You know, and you mentioned the no fans, but it's not like the volleyball played in front of fans before. They had very sparing attendance at their games.
There were some fans there.
There were some fans. It's not like, you know, they sold out every game. They didn't even come close to selling out most games, but mostly because they were scheduled in the early afternoon and on a Wednesday and stuff like that. So it wasn't the greatest time, but yeah. You know, this team is built to last, in my opinion. And I can see them finishing a couple games over 500 as well.
Yeah. And just concluding with a couple stats from last year, Emma Granger finished with 389 kills, which really led the team in a large way by a large margin. Maria Alfano was second with 262, followed by Alyssa Hudak's 261. Whitney Brown, as you mentioned earlier, 905 assists. Megan Cannon from the back row, who we didn't really touch on that much, she's also been very productive in the back row for the Colonials defensively. She had 262 assists. She's a good passer. Also does really well setting as well. And aces, Emma Granger, again, 60 aces on the year, blowing by Elena Carmody's 34 and Nicolette Zanoli's 30. And she also led the team with 156 blocks, and Alfano was second with 106. And Zanoli led the way with almost 500 digs, totaling in at 498. But like we said, Tyler, this team's got a lot of talent, a lot of potential, and it's really, for us at least, going to be interesting to see how they play early on to be able to get a testament for how the tone is going to be set going into the middle portion of the games when the season is going to get a little bit tougher.
Absolutely. And this team, I mentioned it a couple minutes ago, they're built to last. They have all this talent, and they just got to know how to play their cards right in this new conference. And I think they're going to finish in the upper half. This team is just too good not to. It's not going to be the building year like they had in 2018. It's certainly not going to be as dominant as it was last season. I don't see them going 15-1. I could see them going, around a couple of games over 500, like you said. But it's going to be an exciting season nonetheless.
It is going to be very exciting, Tyler. And like we said, after 430 days, the volleyball team will finally return to the court at the UPMC Event Center.
Hey, they were the first one on the court too.
Yeah, how about that? They're back against Oakland, January 25th to the 26th, January 25th, Monday, starting at 6 p.m., followed by Tuesday's action at 5 p.m., going up against Oakland, who was 15-14 overall last year, 8-8 in the Horizon League, 4-8 on the road. So good chance for the Colonials to be able to start off the 2021 spring season with a victory. But that does it for this podcast of The Dig with Austin Bechtold and my new co-host, Tyler Gallo. Thanks for tuning in, and we will hope you will listen again next week here on Colonial Sports Network.